What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday. Hope everyone is having a fabulous, spectacular day.
I mean, it's a little early to call it that.
Perfect response. No, same. I'm having a terrible day, but that's
Wait,
just
why?
Like, you want to, actually, it's a fabulous question you ask.
I have no idea.
I'm so glad you brought it up.
What you're going to say.
I've been kind of rehauling my makeup routine, my skincare routine. What else is there to do other than like take care of myself and feel good about myself? And you know when you wake up and like you have new makeup and you're like low-key like excited to do your makeup?
Yeah.
More so than the average day.
Yeah, it's something different.
Yeah, and I got like new cream contour from Fenty Beauty that they didn't have in store. I had to wait online. Like I was just excited about it. I woke up like grimy and crusty and nothing helped, you know? And it's like disappointing to go from like the excitement of potential mm-hmm. to just realizing like new makeup, same shitty life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's a tough fall. Speaking of new faces, do I look different?
Oh my God, you actually do. I'm going to do a full inspection after the show. I would love to see, but Jackie shaved her fotch.
I was influenced by you, the influencer, to dermaplane my face, aka shave the fotch. And I'm not sure. So I think ultimately I didn't go hard enough mm-hmm. because there wasn't that much hair coming off on the blade. But I'm glad to start at that place rather than like cutting up my face from going too hard. So I'm just getting comfortable with the movement. But it was really interesting to do like a whole face haul yesterday because I used like clarifying pads and like mm-hmm. serum and oil because I watched the same video as you because we both watched from the Morning Toast YouTube account and I saw where you dropped off.
That's my favorite thing that we like share a YouTube account. And like when it goes to the videos you're in the middle of, like I actually don't see a lot of yours, but I watch so much YouTube. Do you see my weird like James Charles stuff?
Yeah, no, I get what you get, but only on my iPad am I logged into that account, so it's not all the time. But yes, I shaved the fotch, and I do feel like it definitely let my makeup set better, but I don't know about anyone else. My skin is breaking out like crazy, mm-hmm. and it's just around like my chin and my mouth, and I think it's from the masks.
Well, if you had told me that, I would have told you not to shave your fotch because they say it can be so fabulous. But the only real downfall is like if you have breakouts or you have acne prone skin and like you're going through it with the acne, shaving your face is the worst thing you can do because it irritates it.
Well, I didn't really shave my chin, which is where I'm breaking out the most. I did like my sideburns.
Yeah, peach fuzz.
Yeah, the peach fuzz.
Yeah.
I avoided any like hot zone areas. But you got to clean your masks, people, because I think a dirty mask is giving me pimples.
1,000%. Dirty towels can give you pimples.
Like when dirty you wash pillowcase.
100%. So that's definitely a possibility. And I only recently like realized like I could and should be washing my masks. So I threw them. Me and Ben, like we leave them all on our front door knob.
Yeah.
Because like you grab one before you leave. And I threw it in with a Tide Pod, which I guess a Tide Pod is made for like a full load of laundry, not like six small pieces of cloth.
No, it's not. And it could give you a rash. Like then you'll end up with a new problem.
Literally, I put the mask on fresh out of the laundry. I couldn't breathe. I was like breathing in toxins. It smelled good, but it was so overwhelming.
That is so insane to do.
I know. It was crazy.
Yeah. Okay. You snatched or learned your lesson.
Maybe I would do it in the laundry again with no Tide Pod, just like water. Is that
or
weird?
Or put it in with all your clothes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
for
then,
sure.
You know, disperse the pod.
I've really pretty much exclusively been wearing our Toast masks, which not to pit masks against one another, but is truly the best in the game. And I hate to say that because like they're not even for sale because like they're sold out. So sorry to be annoying, but the size is so perfect. And when I washed it, it did not shrink. And it's just really like the best mask on the market, dare I say.
Yeah, maybe I need to be switching up wearing my Toast mask more because it does give you a little breathing room, which is nice. So I definitely need to figure out my mask situation, because I thought my masks were clean. I get makeup on them, but
me too.
I wear them like one day, but I guess I need to figure that part out because these pimples are just not going to work for me.
No, you could also, I guess, like wash them in your sink with like wool light, like how you do hanky pankies, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But I just throw them in the laundry, and then when I do the laundry, masks come out. It's like it really is a new category, you know? It's 100%. Like I need a drawer for my masks.
There was actually like a TikTok trend going around, like show me where you leave your masks and like how you organize them.
Oh,
and it was
so
actually
funny.
Really interesting. I just started to like gather them because we take Theo out. Ben takes Theo out so many times a day that like to go rummaging through your purse every time you need a mask is not ideal. Leaving them by the front door, if you have like a mud room, you put it on a hook. Like I'm actually thinking of maybe like getting some hooks.
Oh, that's smart. I have a few by the front door just in case I didn't plan my mask to my outfit. Mm. And then I have a few like in my makeup area. It just depends.
It just depends. And you know, that's the thing about life. Life just depends.
It just depends. Also, a different change in me that I was wondering if anyone would notice.
Wait, let me see. Can you give me a region of your body? Still your fotch?
No.
Okay.
Okay, you're not noticing.
No, I have no idea.
So my shoes. Do you recognize these shoes?
Yes, you have them in white, and you got a lot of shit because you would literally exclusively wore them for the entire 2 years we were at the old studio.
Yes, and I still only wear them, and I know people are extremely triggered by them, and that's not what I'm trying to do here.
No.
So I got them in another color that I think are a little less glaring, you know?
They're salmon.
Yeah, they're like they're called light pink, but this is not light pink.
No, that is actually looking up at the dictionary, the color salmon, like that's what it is.
Yeah, so I feel like it's better. It's not like the stark white shoes when they don't really match the outfit, even though you guys know I love those shoes. So that's something new with me.
That is exciting. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah.
If you're watching on YouTube today and you might notice my legs, I've taken some time off from spray tanning them or using
self-tan
because I'm actually getting a spray tan tomorrow. Wow. Oh, today.
That's exciting.
Very exciting for the first time in months. So like you're going to catch me tomorrow out here, like literally wearing, you know, denim underwear because I'm just going to be so thrilled about my new tan legs.
That's really exciting. So I did something last night because you posted that video, the clip from yesterday's show that had me on the floor crying, laughing, tears in my eyes.
More.
So I was like just looking on our feed for other funny videos because we do that once in a while. We post highlights from the show and I saw some videos from like the first week of quarantine and it made me so upset. Those are different girls.
Oh, yeah. Our spirit has been broken.
No, our spirit has been broken. I knew that it was bad, but I didn't realize how bad it had gotten.
And, you know, that first week or two of quarantine was actually very exciting because like it wasn't like the coronavirus has just like broken everyone.
It has just devastated the entire world on so many different levels.
But at that time, it was like we got like a 1 week vacation and we didn't know how many implications there would be obviously like on our country, but we just thought we were like, wow, this is crazy. Like this is time we're never going to get back. Like it turned into something so much different than I really thought it was going to be.
No, it's crazy. If you had told that girl, like we had a clip where it was like, what's the first thing you're going to do when you're back? And we just had so much energy, so exciting. And it's like,
now
back.
I don't even want to do those
What's
things.
What's back?
No, totally.
Yeah.
That is depressing.
It was eye-opening. I had gotten so far deep in the hole, I didn't even realize.
That's what we do here at the Morning Toast. We open eyes.
Yeah, we realize things.
Major update, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but a story we like weirdly broke yesterday.
Yes, we're going to talk about it.
Vanessa Morgan.
Should we get into it?
Yeah, I have a little TV to recap. I just started the new season of Shameless, so I want to talk about that.
I finished season 2 of Yellowstone. I think season 3 is airing right now, so I need to go find a way to find the episodes. It is so good. I know I'm highly recommending it to you, just not taking my recommendation, I guess.
By the way, it is definitely on my very short list of things to watch, but like, I spoke to you like 5 times yesterday and truly every time I spoke to you, you were like, you should watch Yellowstone, making me think that like you literally have equity in the show and like its success is on your back.
You know what I have equity in? Your happiness.
That's very sweet.
And Theo's. And I know he wants to know what happened.
Well, we're going to finish. I mean, we're going to start.
It's really, really good. And it's so good. So once you watch them, we could probably do an in-depth recap.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm still in the phase where I just really can't watch TV. I just need to listen to Folklore. Like, that's still where I'm at.
Oh, my God. I did something so soothing last night. And I cooked a home chef meal with my AirPods in, listening to Folklore.
Wow.
And it was just, I can't recommend a cooking and a Folklore. And I was really able to like pay attention, please, to all of the lyrics. Mm-hmm. It is so good. I've really only done one full pass through the album before, aside from listening to Cardigan. It was playing on the radio, Cardigan, the other day.
Wow.
And all of the songs, even though I've only heard them once or twice, are already so familiar.
Yes, you know? Of course. Yes, yes, yes.
It's really something.
You know what I did yesterday that you actually might enjoy, and I thought this is what you were going to say? I actually, on my Apple TV, put on the YouTube lyric videos because they're beautiful. Like, each song just pictures, like, a different landscape. There's, like, a beach and a rainy forest, and then the lyrics pop up, and it's just a easy way to, like, see what she's saying. Mm-hmm. And it was very soothing, very, like, ASMR almost, and I really enjoyed it. And that's yesterday, I think I really... I knew the album, but I feel like I got into bed with it, literally. And I've pretty much established my favorite songs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have they changed since yesterday?
I think yesterday I just really breezed on saying that Peace is so good when it's probably my top two.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think it's one, it's towards the end that people just kind of like lump together with Hoax. But it is a true lyrical masterpiece. Like it's, and the premise of the song, I think, is about Joe, because it's like talking about how, in no uncertain terms, like, is this the man for her? But would it be enough if she could never give him peace? Like, her life is so not peaceful. Like, it's very tumultuous at times, and living in the spotlight has obviously its privileges, but also its disadvantages. And I think that, like, part of her, like, feels guilty that, like, she kind of plucked Joe from obscurity and, like, gave him this burden in a lot of ways. And it's just a beautiful song.
Wow.
And then there's, of course, you know, we had to decode, you know, about how life is so crazy. There's robbers to the east and clowns to the west. And West is capitalized in the lyrical video with a capital W, which obviously, you know me as the resident person in the middle on Taylor versus Kanye. It was really hard for me
to see that lyric.
It was
Who's the robber in the east?
No, I think it was just like a metaphor. Like, there's crazy things all around us, but she took the West opportunity to, you know, say something. To, yeah, make a statement.
Got it. Okay, you learn something new about folklore every day.
Truly. I'm still spending a lot of time dissecting this love triangle between Betty, August, and Cardigan. Betty is very easy to understand. It's literally like, Betty says this, I said that, I did this to Betty. But August and Cardigan, which are allegedly parts of this love story, love triangle, are a little harder to dissect, and that's why I went on and watched the lyric videos. It was really enjoyable, but also very helpful.
Interesting. I had a thought, sort of expanding on something we talked about yesterday about the potential music video for August. Mm-hmm. And we were talking how it needs to like be a recreation of a 90s movie, but I think it should be like exactly like Wildest Dreams, but the set of a 90s movie, you know?
Wildest Dreams music video is a true work of
like
art.
Like, they're working on this movie on location, and it's this romantic, glamorous, old Hollywood love story, and they need to be working on a movie on location of 10 Things I Hate About You.
And then, like, at the end, they go from the movie in love to, like, real life in love.
Yeah.
That's a very good idea. I mean, I think Wildest Dreams, for that music video, is, first of all, the most visually stunning thing I've ever seen in my life, and so well done. And of course, Scott Eastwood just helps.
Sickening.
Like, really, really good. That's a good idea. I like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then, so Taylor usually does an album and then a deluxe version at Target.
The Lakes.
Like, right. She's had this deluxe, like, partnership with Target forever, and there's always, like, a few deluxe songs, and they're some of my favorite songs. It's crazy that, like, to me, I think some of her best songs, New Romantics, was, like, not even everyone heard that. Like, it was literally on a Target CD.
That's crazy to me, because that's just part of the album to me. But a song that I just discovered that apparently was from a deluxe was Come Back, Stay
Be Here.
Yeah, that's a deluxe song.
Mm-hmm.
I just, it's, like, it's actually exciting. It's, like, Taylor dropped new music.
You know what else I think is a deluxe song? You can hear it in the silence.
Silence.
Which is crazy. And then one more thing I wanted to say. Oh, so about the Lakes. So the Lakes are referenced in one of the songs about Joe, The One. And it's like, we spent the summer at the Lakes. And so now there's all these series that when the Lakes comes out, it's some sort of announcement related to Joe. Perhaps in Give You Peach, she says, I want to give you my wild, give you a child. So people think maybe she's married, engaged. And this happens every time. But there is substantial evidence to believe that when The Lakes comes out, and it only comes out when people get their deluxe CDs shipped, which should be August, like, 7th. You know, some of the numbers add up to 13 or whatever. That it would be, like, X amount of time since she was months. I don't know. But I just want to put it out there because it's very possible that a Taylor-related announcement could be coming via The Lakes.
Got it.
I love the name The Lakes for a song.
Me too. I personally think they're already married, and if they're not already married, marriage isn't on the table. Like, right. They're just forever life partners, not, you know, yeah. they don't need to take the step of marriage.
Well, that's the thing. It's like when you're as successful as Taylor Swift, marriage is obviously marriage, but it's so much more than that. Yeah. And so a lot of people at that level just like make a commitment to each other forever. That's not marriage.
But I also feel like for Taylor, if you think about some of her older songs, like she's such a romantic that marriage is part of that plan. Like Speak Now, mm-hmm. you know, Love Story.
Yep.
And I feel like she would say yes to marriage. You know?
I think so too. She would just have like thousands of pages of paperwork.
For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
So that is the folklore.
That's your daily folklore update. You can come to expect one every day, I guess, but until
I have a question
the next
for
album
you.
Comes out.
I have a question. Would it be enough if I could never give you peace? Would it?
Sure.
I was trying to explain to Ben like all these songs, you know, I'm like, and then she did this and then Taylor says this. And then I was being so annoying, being like, would it be enough? And he was like, no.
Well, I mean, what is peace even? Who has peace?
That's so true.
Like peace even is, if you're not a global superstar and have the set of problems that comes with that, like everyone has their shit to deal with. So you might as well get the girl, fall in love and be happy.
Nobody really has peace to give.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Just a little 2 cents.
Okay. Shall we?
Let's jump right in. We have a lot to cover today into the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast. Anything to say?
No.
Okay. First story is so exciting, so we absolutely need to jump right in. Sophie Turner and Joe Jonas are delighted to welcome their first child.
I feel like this happened so fast.
So fast.
Maybe that's because she didn't like bombard us with content. Like we never barely even saw her pregnant.
Yeah, the way that this all went down, the timeline was just, it just zoomed right past us.
Totally.
You know, and I think, I don't know at what point in her pregnancy, well, they never announced.
But I don't know at what point we found out.
At what point did Just Jared find out?
Right.
Right. It must have been, I mean, I can't do quick math right now, but it must have been kind of far along.
Yeah. Like maybe 5 months in.
According to TMZ, who was the first to report the birth, the couple welcomed a girl named Willa on Wednesday, July 22nd at Los Angeles area hospital. Quote, the couple is already obsessed and can't stop gloating about their new addition, a source tells Entertainment Tonight. The couple is taking time to enjoy this special moment and have only shared the news and updates with family and friends. I'm getting choked up.
It's truly so a frog in your throat.
Claudia, that's beautiful.
When I recorded our most recent Patreon episode with Olivia, we were talking about how she really gave birth during like such an unideal time, given the pandemic, especially in New York. But she's like a new mom at such an ideal time because there's really nothing else going on and you can really like focus. And I feel the same way for Sophie Turner. Like, this is fabulous. This and she has nowhere to go, no projects to film. She just gets to be home with her baby.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Remember how we used to say that, you know, couples, celebrity couples who blame scheduling conflicts as a reason to break up is horseshit, considering Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner are able to make it work, bless you.
Right.
While he was relaunching Jonas Brothers and she was starring in the Game of Thrones final season and X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like they made that sacrifice for each other knowing that their schedules would conflict, but they love each other so much and they got the greatest gift of all time, which is time.
Yeah, no, and I think like those were both like major, major moments for them in their career. And it just so happened that they were happening at the same time,
mm-hmm.
which is great, but not ideal for like scheduling
and timing.
For a burgeoning
new couple.
Right. And I feel like they made the commitment. Like, we know this is going to be hard for like the next year, but like after that, like we will make it work around each other's schedules. And I feel like that's what they really did. Like after Game of Thrones, like she did that movie and then she really like went on tour and did Cup of Joe with him in a few episodes. Like they balance each other very well.
Yeah, they do. And they're both such big and bright stars, but they want to see the other shine.
Oh, completely. And I just like anytime I hear them talk about each other, like I get choked up because like obviously part of me believes like it should be me out there, you know, in Los Angeles hospital having his child. But also but also because like they really are a perfect match. So if it's not gonna be me, like I guess it could be her. And they have like this such like this deep like kind of like mature love. Like, do you ever see her episode on the Dr. Phil?
I've seen snippets.
It's such a fabulous podcast episode. I think it's also on YouTube if you want to watch it.
Like, Dr. Phil was in my dream last night.
Oh, that's weird.
I think he was wearing a wig.
Jordan McGraw on your mind?
No, it wasn't a Jordan McGraw related thing. Hmm. Dr. Phil was wearing a wig.
Fabulous.
Yeah, it was awesome.
But yeah, that episode, she talks a lot, obviously, about mental health because that's what really Dr. Phil does. And then she was talking about how like her ongoing struggle with mental health like was made a lot easier when Joe came into the picture because like he loved her so much. And she was like, Joe Jonas like likes me. Like I should like me. And I love to hear them talk about like their burgeoning relationship and now how they feel about each other. And you don't get it a lot. You don't get it a lot.
No.
But when you do, it's really pure magic.
It's pure magic. And now they have a magical addition to their family.
Baby makes three.
Baby makes three. Willa Jonas. I just want to say.
Oh, wait, there's a name?
Yeah, Willa.
Oh my God, I didn't hear.
Willa.
Spell it.
W-I-L-L-A, i.e. Willa Ford, I Want to Be Bad.
I mean, Willa Ford, I could do a whole podcast episode on what that song did to me when her and all of her friends were dancing in like this garage with like the smallest shorts I ever saw in my life. And I was literally like, yeah, I want to be bad. Like, yeah, I didn't even know what that meant. Like, I fucking love that song. And so to be named after an iconic singer such as Willa Ford, the baby is truly blessed.
Yeah, she's destined for greatness. I really do love the name. It's crazy that it's a Jonas baby, you know?
Yes, it's crazy that her last name is Jonas.
Right, like she'll maybe have a sister and they'll be the Jonas sisters.
Wow, along with the Jonas Kevin kids.
Yeah, and then hopefully, you know, Priyanka. Nick and Pri have cute, sweet little babies one day.
If that's what they want.
If that's what they want for themselves. And then we'll have the Jonas cousins.
Wow, the J cousins.
What if a couple of the cousins were musical and they started a band called the Jonas Cousins?
That would be like...
And then like that's the music that like, God willing, our children listen right. to.
That would be like an infringement, I think, though, on the Jonas Brothers intellectual property.
But like they would lend it to the
And you know the Jonas Brothers are notoriously litigious.
They would lend it to the children.
Yeah, they would lend it for sure.
Anyways, this is really so exciting, so beautiful. It's just good unexpected news.
When I sit back and think about like how far we've come with the Jonas Brothers, it honestly makes me feel old, first of all, because like it's very rare to like have followed someone from like the time they were your age to like now they're married and having kids, like kind of in the same life stage as us. And it's just so crazy like how they've reinvented themselves like so wholeheartedly.
Yeah, and so many times.
And this last time so well.
Yeah. It's been a really interesting journey for them.
Yes.
But I love that they all prioritize obviously family.
Me too.
And marriage, love, relationships, etc.
100%. The J sisters, the J babies, the J cousins, numero uno.
Because that's all that matters.
It's truly all that matters.
Okay, next story, a little sad couple news. Michael Kopech files for divorce from pregnant Riverdale star Vanessa Morgan.
No, I think the headline says, as predicted by podcast host Claudia Hoshre.
Yes, they put it in the second half of the headline. After 6 months of marriage, as predicted by podcast host Claudia Hoshre.
So it's just so funny how like...
Claudia Hoshre!
Also from my comedy special, now streaming. It's just so funny how like sometimes here on the show and just like on forums, like Twitter, people like... fans have the ability to like snuff things out, and sometimes they are so off and sometimes they are spot fucking on.
Yeah, it's tough because sometimes they're so spot on it makes you think that all the times that they were off that there might have been merit to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost just like a game of probability considering how much people are so off about sometimes.
Yeah,
it has to swing the other way, and this was just one of those times. But I also feel as though she was being deliberate.
Yes, agreed. In her pronoun usage on her Instagram post about her beautiful baby boy.
Yes. So Chicago White Sox pitcher Michael Kopech and Riverdale star Vanessa Morgan, who is currently pregnant with their first child, are parting ways after 6 months of marriage. Kopech filed divorce in his home state of Texas on June 19th, the Chicago Tribune reported, citing court records. The documents were filed in Morris County and a hearing date was not listed, according to the outlet. A representative for Morgan confirmed to People that Kopech is the father of Morgan's baby in the way, but declined to comment on the divorce filing. A spokesperson for Kopech did not immediately respond to People's requests for comment.
Oh, I didn't see that he confirmed, because then people are like assholes, like coming up with conspiracy theories about the baby, which is so rude. So, okay, it is Michael. I mean, as far as I know, you know, the very limited research that I've done is that Michael Kopech has been kind of going through some stuff in the last year or two. He took off this season of baseball and was injured last season. So that's two consecutive seasons for someone who was had a lot of potential, you know, in a long future career. It's very bad to be like off for two seasons. So he obviously, I think, is going to have to be going through something.
Yeah. On July 3rd, the Chicago Sun-Times said that he was absent.
Wait, what? The Chicago Sun-Times.
What's that from?
Jackie.
Is it from Never Been Kissed?
Yes.
Okay. Josie, the managing editor on this story, said that he was absent from White Sox camp because of a personal matter. Mm. So that's why he's not at camp right now, because the MLB like is back.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely, there's more to the story. It seems obviously like a personal matter. And I wish happiness for both of them, and you know,
I feel like this is all the information we're going to get. Like,
yeah. And you know what? As respectful people, I think it's really all that we need. It's not our business. Obviously, right. Things aren't great when you're married for a short period of time.
You get pregnant.
And you still don't want to try to make it work.
Right. So I think we just let bygones be bygones. But it's just so interesting how, like, neither of these two people are, like, actually that famous. But the story, maybe it was, like, there was nothing else going on yesterday. But I saw the story everywhere. Like, places that didn't even cover that Vanessa was pregnant. I just think that the circumstances are so odd that it's people are curious.
And I think also, even though they're both not that famous, when two stars from, like, different worlds come together, like, now we have all the sports fans semi-interested, and we have all the Riverdale stans very interested.
Pop culture, that's true.
And that just doubles the pool of people who might be interested in this.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to Ben about sports yesterday. I'm just learning so much because I've been seeing everyone talk about the bubble. Do you know what that is?
Yes, the NFL.
NBA.
NBA.
And bubble. So Ben was saying how he's so excited for basketball to come back. I'm like, did the Knicks get any new players? Like, are they good? And he's like, no, they're not even playing. I'm like, what?
Oh, because it's based on who was doing well in the last season.
No, they're just picking up, like, right where they stopped.
Yeah.
Which I think is crazy because it's like the basketball season would have premiered, like, in the next month or two. So it's like, why don't we just, like,
start over?
Yeah, it's like, you know, last year's irrelevant. It's cursed. Like, let's just start over.
Or considering it's going to be fanless games, it's kind of perfect to finish out the last season. Also, people did play and put, you know, a lot into
effort,
it, and they should
yes.
get out what they put in. And that way, maybe the next season, we can really start fresh and there can be fans in the stands, and we can just, like, finish out this weird season in this weird way.
Well, so then, like, with the bubble, so everyone's basically in Orlando, but there is a basketball team in Orlando. And I'm like, do the Orlando Magics have to, like, stay down the road from, like, their actual house, or, like, can they go home? And they can't go home.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I mean, it's weird, but that's the point of the bubble.
Right, and it's effective because then Ben was also telling me that the MLB is having a lot of trouble because 13 Marlins players got coronavirus.
Oh, shit.
Because they're not in the bubble.
Yeah, because there is no bubble for MLB right now.
But there should be. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think everything is a good idea. Try it, see how it works. We need solutions.
Yeah, Ben said, though, that the food in the bubble is not good, and a lot of the players are complaining about it.
That's a big issue.
Yeah, and I was saying, I'm like, is it luxurious? Like, these are guys who make, like, $50 million a year. Like, they live in mansions. Like, you can't just throw them in a hotel room for 6 months. Like, it's got to be nice. I would love to know some more about, like, the actual digs. Like, is it all in a hotel? Do they get, like, little cottages? Like, what's it like?
Yeah, but there's a lot of players, so yeah, they can't all be so slinky.
And they're huge. Like, they literally can't stay in, like, a standard Holiday Inn, you know?
Yeah, but that's, like, when they go to the Super Bowl, too.
Yeah.
They stay in hotels.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
I don't know. It is interesting, the logistics.
Yeah,
though.
I would like an architectural digest, like, on the living quarters and the bubble.
Yeah. Well, it also is probably similar to the Olympic Village, you know?
Yeah, hopefully not the one in Sochi.
But I don't think the Olympic Village is particularly glamorous, but a lot of, you know, mega stars and talents go there.
That's true.
So you do it for the love of the craft.
Yes, that's true. The love of sports.
We love sports so much.
I mean, and that was your sports news for the day. Thank you guys so much. And that sports news segment was brought to you by Liquid IV.
Perfect.
Believe it or not, dehydration occurs daily in 3 out of 4 people. With Liquid IV, you have the fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated. Each serving helps you get as much hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of water. If you have trouble drinking water, it's just, like, not something I can really, like, on a realistic level do. And if you watch my comedy special, you would know that.
I drink a lot of water.
Thank you.
And Liquid IV.
And pouring Liquid IV in your water, like, literally makes you, it's time management, you know?
It multiplies the effect.
Proper hydration is crucial for your immune system because it can boost your immunity. And everyone needs that right now. With Liquid IV, you have the fastest, most efficient way to stay hydrated. Plus, it's backed with potassium, vitamin C, and other vitamins known to help your body defend against infections. One serving of Liquid IV provides the same hydration as drinking 2 to 3 bottles of water alone. It contains 5 essential vitamins, more vitamin C than an orange, and as much potassium as a banana. It's healthier than other sugary sports drinks. It has no artificial flavors or preservatives, and it has less sugar than an apple. What makes it so effective is their CTT, cellular transport technology, which is the optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium, delivering nutrients straight into your bloodstream through the water. It's the perfect balance to help you hydrate more quickly and effectively than water alone. One stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water can give you as much hydration as 2 to 3 bottles of plain water. Plus, Liquid IV is on a mission to change the world. Liquid IV is donating 2.3 million servings in response to COVID-19. Products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. Liquid IV is available nationwide at Costco and Target, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code TOAST at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code TOAST at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today, liquidiv.com, promo code TOAST. Plus, if you like to drink like I do, Liquid IV, although it's not really what they're marketing, it's fabulous for hangovers because it's really hard to drink water when you're hungover. Liquid IV just gives you 2 to 3 bottles of water and 16 ounces.
Yeah, it's the stuff. Okay, next story. Really sad. Kim Kardashian was spotted with Kanye West in Wyoming after his apology. Kim and Kanye are talking things out. The longtime couple reunited for the first time in recent weeks on Monday, July 27th. In photos obtained by TMZ, the pair was spotted driving together in Wyoming. A source tells E! News it got very emotional. If you haven't seen these photos yet, it's clear that it's emotional. Kim looks to be crying. Kanye looks to be talking passionately.
If you haven't seen these photos, it's because I made the decision not to post them on our Instagram.
They're so invasive, deeply personal. Yeah.
And there's certain, like we were talking about this with Naya Rivera, where like at certain times, like the media just doesn't respect boundaries. And I know that Kim, you know, signed up for this life and like really has put it all out there. I don't know. I feel like I'm hypersensitive to this these days. And it all really started when those paparazzi pictures of Bethany at Dennis's private burial funeral were taken because paparazzi were like hiding in the bushes in a fucking cemetery in New Jersey. Like that really set off this thing in me where it's like, I find it so offensive and inappropriate. And the fact that nobody like knows where to cross a line.
Yeah, I agree that these photos are invasive, but no one died. These are just celebrities. And Kim and Kanye are the biggest stars in the world. So I disagree. I think that they are too personal. But we also have like a boundary level that I guess most outlets or celebrities don't have, or celebrity news outlets don't have.
Yes. No, I know nobody died. That's not what I was saying. I'm saying I think it falls under the same category of like why must the media and paparazzi like push so much, like, and the fact that like somebody captured this photo and instead of like feeling bad about it like literally ran to sell it, like, no, that's sure, just so fucked
I
up.
I can't even imagine how much money they made on no, this photo. I know. Probably the most a photo has made in a very long time.
No, 100. I mean, I don't even know the last time I saw Kim Kardashian cry, especially like she volunteers to film
not on
herself.
The show. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, no. And we know the Kim crying face, and I find it to be really heartbreaking.
I know. It was just like obviously so much like pain in that car. Like I don't even know what part they were addressing.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know what part she's crying about. Maybe she's crying wanting him to get help. It's too much, you know?
It's too much, and I just feel really sad about this whole thing. And like, I really hate reporting on it. It makes me really sad.
Yeah. And I hate to see Kim cry.
And I hated those pictures.
Yeah.
But I also saw a picture of them looking fine in the back of that car. Also
yeah,
going
they
to,
went
Wendy's.
To Wendy's. Yeah. I wonder what they got.
I love how much Kim loves fast food. Like on the most recent season of Kardashians, when she was in Houston, a meeting with someone from her, you know, law firm group, and they stopped at McDonald's and got a McFlurry. Like that was the best moment of my life. Like celebrities are just like us. They eat like shit.
Oh my God. That was the best moment of reality television.
And then like
period.
The women behind the counter were just like dying. Like I watch you every week. It was so cute.
It was so cute. So that's the latest with Kim and Kanye.
They're reunited.
I'm glad that they're together and they're talking face to face. And I thought the public apology was sort of closing the book on this matter, but
I'm sure it's far from over.
I'm sure, yeah. Okay, next story. Some really crazy news. The Ellen DeGeneres Show is reportedly under internal investigation after workplace complaints. Ellen DeGeneres' acclaimed talk show is reportedly under internal review following multiple allegations from former staffers about the talk show's workplace environment. According to reports from Variety, The Hollywood Reporter both published Monday, The Ellen DeGeneres Show will undergo an internal investigation by Warner Media. Reps for The Ellen DeGeneres Show and Warner Brothers Television declined to comment when reached by People. A rep for DeGeneres did not immediately return People's request for comment.
Seems like everyone's crawling back into their cabinets now that the accountability coach is here.
Yeah.
You know,
what was the story that we just reported on Ellen last week? Something about
the three producers like that.
No. I forget. But like, I feel like this investigation It gives those conspiracy theorists.
Oh, well, we spoke about the conspiracy theories. Oh, yeah. But it's not an investigation by the police. It's by Warner Media. So it's like an internal. I feel like, honestly, it's probably not even real. It's just to appease, like, the constant fodder on, like, Twitter and social media of people just, like, coming for Ellen. It's like there's been so many news articles since quarantine started that, like, they've just been completely ignoring. Like, Ellen has not addressed any of this ones. She didn't address the first wave of news, which is that she's the meanest woman alive. A quote from someone who wasn't me. She's the meanest woman alive. And then there was the other wave of, like, an internal investigation. All those three producers were so mean and created this culture of, like, nastiness and, like, high school vibes. And none of that has been addressed by anyone. I actually went on Andy Lassner's Twitter last night, because he's always tweeting. Like, he tweets like 500 times a day. He has like a lot of followers. Not one word on the matter. He hasn't tweeted since he like tweeted something about Ellen's dog who died. Sad for the dog.
Sad for the dog. Yeah, I guess this is in response to all of the stories and allegations that have come forward, and this is what they have to do. And
I mean, I'm glad, because I feel like all this stuff has been coming out and there's like no response, no repercussions. Like, there's nothing.
Yeah. So
I don't know what internal investigation at Warner Media can do.
Right, like what is actually going to come from this, but spotlight's on them.
Yeah. Hmm. I'll just be very interested, like, when they're back in studio. Like, I don't know, I feel like Ellen's never really gone through a controversy, because she's always been, like, America's sweetheart, like a gay icon. And I feel like she's never, like, had to come on her show and, like, address something or apologize, you know?
Yeah, but speaking of going back to the studio, for, like, people in LA and Hollywood and... Do they have plans to go back?
LA isn't pretty, like New York and LA were, I think, on the same level for a while with the coronavirus. And I think New York handled it better because we seem to be in phase four. And I think they're like still on lockdown.
But I've been seeing celebrities stepping out and stuff.
Yeah, but like I don't think that they're even close to where we are.
Yeah, they regressed a bit.
Right. So I don't know. I wonder if like Andy Cohen, like New York based Jimmy Fallon, if they'll even... Because we're ahead of most other states, as far as I know.
We don't feel ahead.
No, we don't. But I think we technically are.
Got it. Okay, well, fifth and final story. In answer to yesterday's question, I think The Kissing Booth 3 was filmed in secret to keep teen romance alive.
Just Who fucking cares? Well, I'm really getting off. Like, I'm sorry.
I actually do think this is an interesting tactic, and I think it explains why it took so long for Kissing Booth 2 to come out. Because they filmed two movies.
They filmed two To All the Boys I Loved Before, too.
They did?
Yeah.
At the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so we should be getting two teen hits very soon.
Part of me, I don't know why, is like so bothered by this franchise. Like, it's really like triggering me.
I don't think I'm going to watch the second movie because I don't want to feel how you feel.
No, I know. It's very disappointing. Like, I was already like, after the first one and then my whole journey, I spoke about, I'm not going into it again with To All the Boys I Loved Before. I was already like over the franchise. And then with the second movie, I actually read a spoiler of what ends up happening. And it's so outrageously unrealistic. Like, I can't.
Really?
Like with the colleges.
Oh, does she get it? Wait, spoiler. Does she get into Harvard?
She gets... Hold on, you know what? I actually don't even remember. It was so dumb. It's like she gets waitlisted, where she gets in and but doesn't tell anyone, and then the movie ends. Like, what the fuck? Yeah. It's so dumb.
I understand your frustration. I'm taking it off my list of things I'm going to watch.
You know,
like, because I would just like to leave it at what I thought it was.
A beautiful love story between two kids in love.
Falling in love in real life. And you know what? They don't ultimately work out. And I think that also is what would have happened in the first movie.
Of course.
But they gave it their all.
They gave it their all. And that's all that matters.
But I do like this strategy of filming two movies at once, because Kissing Booth 3 was secretly shot at the same time as the sequel, so filming is already complete. It's currently in post-production and will premiere on Netflix in 2021.
Oh, another complaint I had against The Kissing Booth that I actually, when I rewatched yesterday's show, I realized I forgot to mention, is that, you know, the first movie, it's all set in LA, but they film in South Africa. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in the first movie, they try to, you know, really hide that they were in South Africa. And in the second movie, it just became so much less believable that they were not in South Africa. Like, literally, like...
That they were not in LA.
Yeah, yeah, and that they were in South Africa. Like, literally, like, she opens her window in her house and there's, like, a jungle. Like, it's just, it was so South Africa.
Got it.
Okay, I was just not buying anything they were selling me.
I understand. I won't bring it up again.
I was only able to suspend disbelief for so long.
I think we might have to China the Kissing Booth franchise. Because of what it's done to you.
Look what it's doing. Like, honestly, the only thing that could send me over the edge even more is, like, if we got a Sierra Burgess is a Loser sequel. Because that would be That movie was not only terrible, but like really unethical.
I completely agree.
We went in on it on the show, I remember. I remember just being so taken aback by how dumb it was and what a bad message it sent to children.
Yeah, I completely agree. Please don't give us a sequel. Not that I heard any rumors.
No, no, and I don't want to drudge up, like,
I don't want to put it out into the universe, like, yeah, and manifest it.
Let me just grab that right back and put it in my pocket. We're good.
We're good.
Okay, TV recap. Really quickly, I just wanted to say I started the new season of Shameless, which is a show that I just watch when it's on Netflix, and it's really mindless and really fun to watch. But this is the first season without Fiona Gallagher, played by Emmy Rossum. It's like, this is the show that made her, and then she decided to leave. and I just want to say, like, kudos to Emmy Rossum. Like, she knew, like, the only way the show could get better is if she left, and I'm so glad she's gone. Like, she was my absolute least favorite character, and there's so, like, the family's so big, so, like, it's one of those shows where it's like you get a couple minutes of everyone every episode, and Fiona was, like, to me, the worst and least interesting and got the most screen time. So now it's like there's more parts of the episode dedicated to Lip, who's my favorite, and Ian and Debbie, and it's like everyone has more time because they're not being bogged down by Fiona and her poor decision making. And I just think the show is, I thought it was obviously going to be the end of Shameless, like, without Fiona, but it's just absolutely fabulous. Like, I can't recommend it enough.
Wow, that's so great to hear. I thought you were gonna say you wanted to congratulate her because she got out, you know, at the right time.
No. It was getting a little stale and it needed to be shooken up, and I just didn't realize the main character leaving would be the thing to shake it up. Interesting. Because usually that's the thing that breaks it.
100% Marissa Cooper.
It's a totally different show, and I'm enjoying it so much more.
Wow, that's so great to hear.
Yeah, and you know, season 10 of a show, it's like,
that's crazy.
Let's kill, they shoot horses, don't they? But it's really,
they do on Yellowstone.
Oh, do they?
Not gratuitously. But if a horse,
I don't know if I can handle that.
If a horse is dying, you know, if the horse found itself in a precarious situation, they'll put it out of its misery.
What kind of situation is this horse finding himself in?
Well, the opening scene, which isn't a spoiler. No, first scene of when you turn it on.
I don't want to hear it. If you're going to make me watch it, like, I don't want to.
Okay.
But there's not a lot of horse abuse because I can't handle that.
They love the horses. Okay. The horses are treated with love and respect.
I know. And then part of me, like, maybe I'm getting too in the weeds. Like, part of me is just like an animal lover. I hate watching shows that even have animals in it because it's like, what is that animal doing on a set?
I hear you. But if you see the sets, like, I think they're a wonderful place for an animal to grow up. And I think the show really is about the land in Yellowstone and the beauty and the animals and the wildlife that live there. And I think it's really, I understand,
but it's like,
what
are
you're
they
saying.
Being paid?
The animals?
Yeah. No, their owners are capitalizing. Animals are not entertainment. See, I really don't like when shows even have a dog. Not to get on my soapbox, but yeah. What is that dog doing on a set? He should be in a park.
He's working hard.
No, but he didn't consent to. His owner is just, like, you know, selling him for a quick buck.
But you could make that argument about anything that dogs do that they don't consent to.
No.
What is that dog doing on a set?
Oh my God. You're right. I'm so embarrassed. I can't.
But like, he's so happy. Look at him.
But he's not working.
He's working.
You know what they do to those animals on set. You ever see that video from that stupid Dennis Quaid movie with all the dogs, where the dog is drowning?
A Dog's Purpose. But people only tune into this show to watch THEO sleep.
I can't believe you just called me out, like, so hard.
I didn't realize that that's where this was going, but, like, it was right there.
This is not a real set. Like, this is a living room.
I agree.
And I wouldn't have a problem if a dog was brought onto a movie set to sleep. But that's not what they're doing. They're, like, making them, like, you know, do weird tricks and, like, move this way. And I don't know. I just don't like it.
Okay. So then you might actually not like the show, but give it a chance.
Are the horses a main character on Yellowstone?
They're in pretty much every scene. They're cowboys.
That's going to be tough for me.
They're cowboys.
It's already tough for me to drive by the park and see those poor horses being just like...
Okay, but those horses are out of their element, and these horses are very much in their element.
Yes, on the show, but they're out of their element on the set. It's very metaphysical.
But the set is, I believe it's filmed in Utah. And that's, if I were a horse, that's where I'd want to be. Even as a person, that's where I'd
want to
be.
No, if I was a human, that's where I'd want to be. Even though all this drama with Kim and Kanye is really making me want to move to Cody.
Yeah, it's really great publicity for the state of Wyoming, even though I'm sure they don't see it that way.
No, not at all. Stunning, though.
Yeah, sickening. See, like Yellowstone.
Theo heard about the abuse, and he's on his way to file
He has agency. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do? You want to go back to sleep? Do you want to walk out the door? Do you want to
get
to
work? This is your life, Theo. You're living it.
I love you.
He looks so happy.
Come.
Oh, well, that's all I had to say. I'm halfway through the Redheads book.
I heard it's very dark.
It's very dark. It's very intense, but it's a very good book, but it's a lot. We're recording it next week instead of the end of this week, but the episode will still be out at the same time, so it gives us a little bit more time to read it. And if you guys have questions, you can always email theredheadsbookclub@gmail.com. Questions about the book, questions about other books that we read.
Questions you want them to answer and address on the show?
I'm just so emotional talking about the Redheads.
Like, that's what a passion project will do to you.
Yeah, I'm just so passionate about it. Speaking of passion projects, we have so many fabulous TNN shows that are just turning out premium content right now.
I mean, Margaret Josephs has been locked up in her house in New Jersey, nonstop turning out content. They moved to 2 episodes a week, and then they started doing it on video, and they have gotten some amazing guests. And they also just did an episode with Carson Kressley, who is like a mainstay judge on RuPaul's Drag Race, which was a fabulous episode.
And he was just on Real Housewives of New York.
No, that is another...
Carson. Oh, no, Colin Cowie.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Colin Kaepernick. I'm like, no, I don't think that was him. yeah, Colin Cowie. But they've gotten fabulous, fabulous episodes. Lauren has a ton of new podcast episodes. She just did one with Emma Ledger, who's like literally the fastest growing Instagram fashion blogger, and got all of her tips and tricks.
Her Instagram is sickening. So if you want some tips and tricks, head over to Mood with Lauren Elizabeth.
It was really good. And then, Raven and Alexis did a fabulous episode of Girls Night with Danielle Lombard and Jasmine Good from their season. And they're really like best friends. And it was the funniest episode. Alexis is so funny. And her and Raven together are, not that Raven and Adam weren't a great podcast duo, but Alexis just brings out like a crazy side in Raven. She brings out a crazy side in everyone.
It truly feels like a girls' night.
That's what it is. And that episode was really good, along with a bunch of other episodes that they've done. So if you're done here and you've done listening to all of our Patreon episodes, head over to Toast News Network. You can follow us on Instagram for updates on all the new TNN shows. New episodes from all of our shows are dropping consistently every week. The Snatchler is going to be back next month when Claire returns to the screen.
Is Claire in a bubble right now too?
I believe they are in like a hotel in Mexico in a bubble.
I think it's probably the same premise. Mm-hmm. No one's really talking about it, the fact that they're filming, right?
Yeah.
But that's exciting that they're filming.
And exciting that the Snatchler's coming
back.
And
that hopefully they found a way to film safely, and maybe other shows could replicate that, you know?
Hopefully.
So, and that the Snatchler's coming back. I miss that Snatchler.
I miss that Snatchler too.
And I hope she learned her lesson.
I don't think that she did though. That is probably the first thing she'll cover on the episode back. That's it, you guys. That's all she wrote. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we go live Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. Oh, shit.
It's okay. Take it from the top.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we post live.
It's okay. Take 3.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show. We post videos on our YouTube channel Monday through Friday, and we're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. Plus, you can now listen to our podcast and watch our videos on Spotify, which we are so excited to now have our videos be uploaded to Spotify. Anytime, anywhere you listen to your podcast, please find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, smart, and charming we are. Why not? Yeah,
thorough and charming.
We hope you guys have a fabulous day. We'll see you tomorrow for Hump Day.
Goodbye.